Welcome to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, everybody. It is Sunday, April 24th, and today is a big day. We should have Sean on the line calling in as co-host. Is he there?
I'm here.
Oh, excellent. Clear as day. All right, so the plan for today's show is that you all call in and talk to me. All right, if you're in Phoenix, call in at 602-277-KFNX. We also have an 800 number. If you're listening through the internet, you probably know about our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. On the site, we've got an 800 number. Give us a call. We are going to have a guest during the second and third segments from AGEA. Last week, we talked about AGEA and their plan of creating a physics coprocessor. And we're going to have VP of Marketing, Mr. Andy Keene, on the show today. I'm actually really excited about this. Again, if you want to talk to him or me or Sean or whatever, 602-277-KFNX, or check out the 800 number on our website at chatterboxgameshow.com. Now, I always start off with the show by talking about what I've been playing lately. Sean, is there anything you've been touching lately, or are you too busy with homework?
I've been rather busy. I've been touching back into the World of Warcraft, though. They had their first major patch implementing the honor system and a couple of other things. It was kind of exciting this week, but nothing too big.
What's the honor system?
The honor system was originally meant to curb a problem they have with their PvP system, where high-level people would run in and kill the low-level people. What actually ended up happening was it doesn't have anything to do with the PvP, and there is high-level PvE characters that are called PvP-enabled. Now, when a PvP-enabled person is killed by a player character, they get an honor point. These honor points allow them to rise in rank within the honor system and become champions of the universe, getting new and better armor and the general applause of all their fellow players.
Okay. That sounds completely uninteresting to me, because I don't play that game. But if you like it, I'm sure it's fantastic. And I actually know that we have World of Warcraft players listening, so, you know, maybe they like it too. The game I've been playing lately is Psychonauts, and this one's been getting a lot of attention lately. I see that it's actually gotten really good reviews as well, like usually in the 80s and 90s. It's a game by Tim Schafer, who hasn't put anything out in a long time, actually, but he created Grim Fandango and I think Day of the Tentacle as well. Do you remember these games?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So anyway, he put out this new game on at least the Xbox. I don't know if it's on the PS2 as well. But I played the demo this morning before the show, and I think I'll be getting the full game very soon. Unfortunately, the demo doesn't show off the coolest part of the game, where you get psychic powers and stuff. You remember I talked a lot about, at least in the past, about PsyOps.
Which was a great game.
It was fantastic. And so this is more of like, it's more platformer than PsyOps was. And it's a lot more, like, acceptable for family environments because it's got, like, cutie graphics and voices and everything for everybody. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll probably talk about it more next week after I have played it a little bit more. But it might
so
tie
is
in.
The physics, is there the physics engine built into the game?
Well, see, that's since I haven't had the chance to mess around with the psychic powers, I haven't seen a lot of physics with it yet. And that's one of my concerns. I want to see. But it is sort of a nice tie-in to our guest today, so that's sort of neat. So anyway, that's what I've been playing, and like I said, I'll talk about it a little bit more next week. There's also been a little bit of news that's happened lately. The beginning of the week, people might have heard about GameStop buying EB Games. Did you catch this?
Pretty huge, I think.
Yeah. Now, given that I've been employed by both of these giant corporations, I have sort of like a connection, although they don't want me very much. But it was interesting to see that one bought up the other, and they're both about the same size. And I don't know if anyone out there cares, but like their stocks shot up like a rocket. And I wasn't on that bus. It was kind of upsetting to watch you leave the station without me.
Kind of amazing, though, that they took the GameStop name and not the EB Games name.
Why is that amazing to you?
I don't know. I just, whenever I think of video game stores, GameStop, since it was had changed its name to GameStop, was one of the ones I figured would be the one to take the back seat to EB Games, which seems to be more popular, at least known name in the field.
Yeah, see, GameStop's actually bigger. It has way more stores, at least in the U.S. And they also have their magazine. Remember that? not GMR, that was somebody else. Game Informer. They have their Game Informer, which is like one of the most widely distributed magazines in the country.
Mostly because they give it away with everything they ever do.
Yeah. Now, my concern is, of course, I've got friends who work at these companies, and now you've got malls with each store, right? And so they're going to have to do, like, I'm sure, at least, I don't know if they have to, but I'm sure they will have mass firings. And so.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was going to go down to my local mall and see if they've already started doing this, because we have both stores at the mall in the area here, and I'm wondering if they're just going to destroy an entire store, because in my personal opinion, I like the EB store at my mall better. It always got the games earlier, and the people were a little more knowledgeable.
Yeah, it'll take a while, and I don't know how they're going to do it. Like, do they just decide to keep all their GameStop people and can the EB folks, or are they actually going to pool them all together and decide who's best? I have no idea. But it'll
sad,
be interesting.
It's a bad day for your consumer.
Yeah. It is a little bit upsetting, because it means that the two main folks who created competition are now one, and there's going to be a lot more potential for price fixing and stuff.
Exactly. You only have the Hollywood Video folks doing their thing.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll get bigger, but they're just not around. They're not in malls. Anyway, I'm going to get off the topic. It's not that interesting to me.
No.
But it will be fun to see how it pans out and see if all my friends are out of work.
Have you seen the Xbox 2 commercial on MTV yet?
No, actually. I didn't see that because I figured it was probably just a logo.
Actually, they had a full-length commercial. They don't even show the Xbox 2 logo yet, but it does give a definite date and time for the big unveiling, which is May 12th at 9:30 p.m. 8:30 Central, and I imagine this is recorded live.
Yeah, so we'll probably catch it here in Arizona, not live anymore.
Correct.
So we'll already know in advance. Anyway, I am sort of excited about that, but I saw this weekend, yesterday actually, during the NFL draft, the new Madden Next Gen is what they're calling it right now.
And I'm actually watching that as we speak.
Yeah, there was a big minute-long commercial for that, and it does look pretty amazing. It's all graphics, you know, same, I guess it's the same game. I mean, football's football to me, but it's always amazed me how much is in the Madden games, because you can do so much management and a million different things that I have no idea about relating to football. But the graphics were pretty amazing, and if they told us that they were in-game graphics, it would be a lot more amazing. Right now, there's a big question in the air over whether or not it was in-game, or if we were watching cutscenes, or what it was.
From the look of things, it seems to be in-game. From what the power of the Xbox is supposed to be, I believe that this will be easily capable of doing this.
Yeah, I hope so.
The previous generation, when they had Madden Football with CG graphics, the graphics were much more impressive. They were easily, you know, you could tell that they were CG. Plus, they had actual in-game GUI elements as well as other things like that to lead you to believe that it was.
Good. Well, then I'm excited. Not for Madden, but for everything else that's going to come out. For those who haven't been paying enough attention, nothing about the next Xbox is confirmed, but there has been this blitzing of what I'm sure is leaked intentionally leaked information, right? We've gotten snapshots of what could be the system, or renders of what could be the system, and you only see part of it, and then the next day you see a little bit more of it, and then there's that whole ourcolony.net.
The thing is, those pictures that are released are from the ourcolony.net game, from the ARG, and that's why it leads credibility to the fact that they are actual pictures of the system itself.
Yeah, but isn't it amazing to you how Microsoft is milking this curiosity so much?
I think it's great, because right now I'm on the edge of my seat being like, ooh, I want to hear more about the Xbox 2. I could care less about the PlayStation 3, and the Revolution might not even show up at E3 this year. I mean, they're doing a fantastic job of getting my excitement up there.
Yeah, but I then look at myself in the third person, and I think, why do I care so much, right? why am I, like you said, on the edge of my seat wanting to see the photograph of the rear right corner of the next Xbox and see how many vent holes it has. They're doing a really fantastic job with this marketing thing, and it's upsetting to me personally that it's working.
I don't think it's necessarily upsetting to me. It was upsetting before when I started to get excited about the first Xbox because I'm supposed to hate Microsoft.
Yeah, it's sort of a rule.
The big evil corporation. And I think it really goes to show how far it's come that they have really taken, in my mind, the idea of what a gamer wants. They put so much power and so much stuff into the original Xbox, I can't help but salivate over the prospect of what they're going to do with the next one.
Yeah. Now, we're going to be able to, well, I don't know if we'll find out. In fact, I'm pretty sure we won't. But in the next month or so, we'll find out what's actually inside the box. Maybe if AGEA has anything to do with it, you know.
Yeah, there's been lots of rumors about them having the physics on board. A lot of development companies saying the same thing, talking about this stuff, and then being like, oh, right, there's no physics processor or anything in the Xbox.
Yeah, see, this is why I can't wait till E3 when we go. I also wanted to announce right before we go to break, we've got our guest on the show for today, and also on the 15th of May, we're going to have Rob Smith from Official Xbox Magazine on the show. So if you want to learn more about what people in video game magazines do and the whole E3 scandalous rush that happens once a year, you want to check out that show as well. And of course, you can podcast our shows and download them online and everything from chatterboxgameshow.com. So we're going to leave for break in just a few seconds. I also want to remind everybody, Halo 2 maps are coming out tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about that more a little bit later. We're going to come back in just a couple minutes and talk to Andy Keen from AGEA. If you're listening over the internet and you want to learn a little bit more about them before we come back for the interview, check out AGEA. That's AGEIA.com, I think. Anyway, we'll be right back. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, back on the air again, April 24th. We've got Andy Keen ready to go. Sean, we have him here as well?
Yes, we do.
Oh, excellent. That's like a relief, like a monkey off my back every time I hear your voice. All right, so let's bring in Andy Keen, Vice President of Marketing from AGEA. Andy, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. It's good to hear from you. I want to start off by introducing my listeners to you, so if you could just describe your position and a little bit of your history with everybody.
Okay. So my name is Andy Keen, so I run marketing at AGEA. And I've actually been relatively new to AGEA. I've been there just a few weeks. And my history is kind of engineering in the beginning, but pretty quickly went into the world of startups in the marketing role. So in 1995, I joined 3DFX, and I was actually employee 12, so became VP marketing of that and kind of rode that up. So and since 3DFX, I've been at another microprocessor company called QED. So been in semiconductors and the world of gaming and a lot of the startup world around California. And as I said, I joined G about 3 weeks ago and have been kind of immersed now in this product category and learning a lot from the people who created this technology.
See, knowing that you were at 3DFX, it doesn't surprise me at all that they wanted to grab you because, I mean, like everybody can realize there's a major analogy between the creation and acceptance of the 3D graphics cards that happened last decade, and then what I guess AGEA is hoping will happen with the new physics chips.
Right, right.
So,
and that's why I got really excited about the company, because it had a lot of the same feel, although you have the same feel now with history on 3D effects, because I think the early days of 3D effects are very much like the early days of AGEA. We actually did not know whether, in that case, a 3D-only category could actually be sold, and actually we were quite discouraged by a lot of the venture folks and investor folks, because they didn't believe the category could be created. And ultimately the product had a lot of value to it. So people saw that it actually did give them a better game experience. So the, you know, kind of the rest is history. That category got created, and I think really set a new level for what 3D would look like.
So now I sort of know the answer to this question, but I want to hear your take on it. For people who might be listening and not, maybe they're not even into games, they're just tuning into the station, right?
Right.
What is it that makes physics, or could potentially make physics, so important to video games, at least from the mindset of AGEA?
Okay. So when you look, again, we can kind of draw the parallels to 3D graphics. When as you're playing a game or as you're developing content, what you're trying to do is you're trying to create an experience for the person playing the game where that person can enter a virtual world and really suspend their disbelief that they're inside a world. So you've played games and been with people who play games where your whole focus is on that game, and you believe you're in that world, or you're interacting with a real world. So what happened with 3D graphics is you went from a, you know, pixelated, low resolution, very unbelievable, you know, or not believable image, to one where you look at these beautiful images that are now produced in the current games on pretty capable platforms, and they look like real worlds. Now, the next step in creating this believable world is actually have the objects have physical characteristics now. So when you run into something, it moves, or it gets damaged, or you know, when there's a particle effect, so you see an explosion, or you see some other effect, a smoke, you know, smoke that comes out, or in our cases, fluids. Well, you want that effect to look like you would expect it in the real world. So when you enter a fluid, you just don't go through it. It actually has an impact on you. So as you now start to develop more kind of immersive or more believable content, physics becomes very important, because the image is now beautiful, but the interaction with the world is not yet to that level where you can say, you know, yes, all of the objects have now not just pretty rendering, but physical characteristics.
So now, I understand what you're saying completely, and I've played a lot of games that have objects which are interactive within the world. And one of my concerns, a lot of games you play, let me try to think of one offhand here. The one I'm thinking, I can't think of the name of it. All right, well, let's just say, for example, there's a game where, you know, you can move such and such box, right?
Yes.
But then there's other objects in the game which are very similar theoretically, like that's, oh, a different box, right? But that box can't be moved. And that's simply a choice, or maybe a lack of effort or whatever, dependent on the developers. And so what you're trying to do with your product is take that. Is it going to take the effort off the developer, or just the power, give them the power they need to do that work?
It's more or less giving the power they need. I mean, I would never call developers lazy, because, you know, the amount of effort they have to go through to create this content is stunning. Even games that sometimes are not very well reviewed, the amount of energy and talent and skill it takes is enormous. It's like making a bad movie, right?
I should probably say lack of time to put forth the effort.
It's also resources. So within a game, you have to decide what resources, you know, and the computer is a resource, so you have memory and graphics, and you have all these resources. So you're trying to spend the resource on what objects become interactive, what graphics am I going to draw, you know, how far out are you going to be able to see into the game, so, or into the game environment. So that becomes a lot of resources, use of resources. So what happens is physics is a very, very mathematically intensive process. And what happens is you have a certain amount of number crunching ability on the current platforms. And what the AGEA guys a while ago said, okay, that is a really good target because we can do a very specialized processor, for that type of math and give the developer a lot more resources. So it doesn't matter if that box that you talked about that didn't move actually wasn't really in the gameplay, right? It was just an object that was in the world. Well, you now have the resources to make all those objects move, whether they're in the gameplay or not. And actually, when you think about a game, the fact that that box didn't move probably told you it wasn't in the gameplay.
Yeah,
and now you have access to that box may or may not be part of the gameplay. So you can now create a more complicated world and I think a more believable world.
Well, that was my next question. If what AGEA is producing is going to give enough power to really make it suspend my disbelief, because when I get into the game and, yeah, I can move this object and that one, it really bugs me when there's something that looks very similar and should, be workable, right? I can't move it at all. But you're saying that the power you guys are going to provide will allow an entire world full of objects, of course, within reason, right?
To make
a believable world.
Correct.
See, that's...
Correct. That's the goal.
That's amazing to me.
I mean, right now, and kind of the way we're entering physics is, I mean, as powerful and this is it's a pretty big chip. As powerful as this chip is, we're in kind of the 1995 land of physics, where using a graphics analogy. So where graphics was in 95, so we just got to filtering really good textures, starting to do some trilinear filtering or multiple textures. That's where we're in physics. Mm-hmm. And that starting effect and that starting ability to start affect the game is going to change the way developers start to think about how they can do the game. And so ultimately, 10 years from now, you kind of think that the difference 10 years ago from graphics to now, and think of, there's this incredibly powerful kind of roadmap forward that will just make these worlds absolutely incredible. So, and that's what's exciting to me is that, this is a brand new category, and it's a brand new category in the PC, which actually hasn't happened in a while, and I think it can have a really big effect.
All right, see, I'm really excited. You're saying it's like being so far back, right? And I remember there's been a huge leap forward in the technology jump from start to current, and we'll talk more about this, right? We got to go to break, and there's going to be a big chunk of news, but we will be back in a few minutes. So if you're listening, call us at 602-277-KFNX or check out the website for our 800 number and give us a call if you want to talk to Andy or myself or Sean. And anyway, we'll be right back in just a second. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
All right, we're back. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We have Andy Keene, VP of Marketing from AGEA, on the line for an interview. We also have Sean calling in as co-host, and I know he's got some questions for Andy himself. I also invited people to send us questions through email this week, and I've got some questions from listeners. So hopefully we'll have time for all this. Unfortunately, we don't have much time, so I'm going to try and sort of speed through some of this. Andy, you're there, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, thank you. So we were just talking about sort of like the possibility of these tech leaps that might happen because we're at the beginning of the concept of a physics processing unit, right? Like I remember I was at a game developers conference once, and a friend of mine won graphics card with 12 megs of RAM, and we're like, oh my God, that's so much. You're going to be blown away.
Right.
And nowadays, I mean, exponential differences. So you actually foresee this growing at a similar pace?
Oh, absolutely. This is both you give a capability to the developer, and then they start kind of pushing and prodding and figuring out what they can do with it. Also, in terms of our technology, we have actually three more process technologies available to us for smaller and smaller chips. And, of course, usually they don't get smaller. They just get more complicated and more capable. So there's a long technology kind of horizon in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of my big concerns, and I posed this last week as well, at least to the listeners, my concern is that, like with graphics, you could add on a graphics card, right? And if you didn't have the graphics card, at least until there was mass acceptance of these things,
right,
you could still run it through software. And I see the big impact of physics being when the game requires it, right? If it's not required, I don't care that much because it doesn't seem like it would be that big. And I remember reading in another interview with someone from AGEA that it's sort of going to start off with just some things that help visually and sort of grow into more necessary applications. And I'm worried that without mass acceptance, programmers won't actually develop things that require the card. And then, you know, it's sort of a chicken and egg thing where do the cards get into the hands of the users first, or, you know, when does development that actually is impressive happen?
Right.
So is this something that AG is worried about, or do you have a plan to create mass acceptance in any way?
You know, there's actually a plan that the founders of the company actually studied 3DFX quite a bit because it was a very similar marketing problem. Back in the early days of 3D, it was very, very similar. There absolutely was no content. There actually wasn't an API, which is where so Glide was created, and Glide became a 3D kind of a base on which you could build content. Now, also remember that at that point in time, Voodoo and Voodoo 2 were absolutely separate add-on boards, right? You didn't do 2D, you didn't do any of the basic video functions. You actually had to have a VGA card, and then we just passed through the video signal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very similar, very, very similar situation. Now, I think AGEA has done it one better in that a while ago, I think it was about a year and a half ago, the company bought another company in Europe called Novadex.
I read about that.
Okay, Novadex is, and they were producing a software API for physics. And so this was designed for software. And it was a multi-threaded API, very capable. The guys at Novadex had kind of looked at the landscape and said, okay, we can do this one better because we see this future in particularly multi-threading. And so what the AGEA folks did is they bought the software side, and then they married it to the hardware side. So what happens is a lot of developers are using Novadex as software. So we're kind of giving them a physics capability only in software. And what happens is when the card is present, some of those what are software features would then default to hardware. And so we have this, you know, kind of development path where we're giving the developer capability now. When they get the card and it plugs in underneath, the API isn't chained on top.
Okay. So that sort of answers my question. There is the ability to make use of the physics stuff through your software side, and then eventually when it becomes so demanding, people hopefully will have these cards already.
Absolutely. And the developers will then have an ability to kind of modulate the level of detail. So when a card is present, and they'll actually be able to know that, when a card is present, they'll be able to include a lot more effects or rigid body. Rigid body meaning something that, like a box in the game that can move and have physical characteristics. And that's what a rigid body means. So like a pile of balls or a pile of rigid things that interact as rigid things as opposed to fluid things or cloth or smoke.
Yeah. Of course, AGEA's processor is supposed to be able to handle all the fluid and other things as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, again, it is a resource, right? So you have to use your resource for some effects or different effects. But rigid bodies are, you kind of look at the current content, there's already a concept of rigid bodies as a physical object in games today. I don't think there's many, and this is where I kind of maybe one of your listeners might argue with me, but there of moving meshed objects like fluids, and so having very large meshed objects that behave real like real fluids. I don't think that really exists as a physical object in games. It's usually a graphics, you know, some type of polygon that's deformed that has a texture on it.
Yeah, it's been pretty weak. There hasn't been much gameplay with mesh and curved objects, and
it's hard to do.
All that sort of stuff.
It's just there's a lot of calculations per vertex to do when you start moving everything. So it's just a really hard thing to do. So that's what physics, you know, hence then you get the physics side.
I can't describe my excitement. Months ago, like a year ago on the show, I was talking about how physics is going to be the next big leap, and I'm very happy to see that I'm not the only one who thinks that. I'm going to pass off a question to Sean now because it's hard for him to jump in over the phone, but I know he's got some questions for you, so go ahead,
great.
Sean.
Okay, my one main question, I think I kind of have a feel for it after listening to you, is what about the other companies out there? There's a lot of competing companies out there making just basic physics engines. Do you guys have a game plan for incorporating their technology so that your chip will make their technology that much better? For existing physics engines that are out there, are they going to be able to tie directly into the chip, or are they going to have to completely recode all of their existing architecture if they do choose to use abilities of your chip?
Okay, so right now there is a software bridge for the people who have their own technology. And so what happens is they, within the software itself, they would take their engine and where they would make certain calls, that call would then be translated into a Novadex-style call, and then you would use the Novadex engine underneath. So we're not asking people to recode what they currently have. Ultimately, to take advantage of the chip, you will have to recode to an API that exposes the capabilities of the chip.
Correct.
Right? So again, this is the development of any, like the DirectX API, where in the beginning it was very much decoupled from the hardware, the Direct3D API, and eventually now it's leading hardware. It's saying, okay, these are the types of resources you're going to have inside the chip, and they get exposed then through the API.
It's the sort of thing I would expect that in, you know, 5 or 10 years, Microsoft builds into their XNA Studio physics.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. I hope less time than that. But,
yeah.
but yes, that's exactly true.
All right.
And we're prepared to follow that because we're a hardware vendor. We, you know, we're enabling through the software, and ultimately as Microsoft and the game industry, development industry figures out how they want to access the chip, we'll just follow that.
So is there any concern from the people at Aegea that they might end up like 3DFX, who is no longer around?
No, I think the challenges at 3DFX were manifold and pretty deep. So the software side, 3DFX did hold on to Glide for quite a bit longer than was probably necessary, but it was also an evolutionary thing. There was a lot of content built on top of Glide. And so you can get, Microsoft not happy with you because you have a competing API, or you can have a whole raft of developers who've already invested in the API. So that was a difficult problem. In this case, it's a little different. We really don't have we recognize we're going to follow an industry standard in the software side, and that's the way it becomes very pervasive. Because certainly I think we also made an announcement that Xbox was also using the Novadex API. So, again, that content, as it comes across the PC, it already will have the concept of our style of physics. So mm-hmm. we're not trying to lock people into an API. We're trying to more or less get people to buy the hardware.
Let me just jump in for a second. You said that
sure.
Xbox is going to use the API. Were you talking about the new one or the current Xbox?
You know, I actually don't have I don't have the release in front of me. I think this was in one of the tool sets.
Okay.
So, and actually the release is on the website.
Okay, I'll have to go check that out because
I haven't memorized everything yet.
Somehow that passed me by. Anyway, so I do have questions from a listener that they emailed me, so I just want to run through at least
great.
A couple of these if possible.
Okay.
He's asking, there's some obvious uses of physics in games like first-person shooter games.
Right.
And he's wondering if you're thinking it's going to be as useful and pervasive, like you said, in other games like RPGs or racing games or an RTS, for instance.
Right.
Any ideas there if it'll be as useful in these other style of games?
I think physics is going to be in every single type of game. And the reason I say that is that there are always these, again, what I call resource limits, but there's in every type of game, even, you know, one like a flight simulator, right? So you have the combat simulators where really the physical effects are actually very distant from where you are in the gameplay, except maybe when you're near the terrain or, you know, near another kind of actor in the game. So,
right, Andy, hold that thought. We do have to go to break. I'm going to bring you back after this, though. Okay. We'll be right back, guys. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Oh, we are the most professional radio show in the history of the airwaves. I guess we went over the air for a good long time there after the break. That was awesome. All right, so for everybody who's paying attention, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. We've got Andy Keen from AGEA, the company that's putting out or creating the new physics processing unit. And we were planning on stopping the interview already, but I'm having too much fun with it, so I'm keeping him on here and have a couple more questions for him. And then we'll cut out and be back next week. If you have any questions, you can call in real quick, 277-KFNX, or there's an 800 number on our website at chatterboxgameshow.com. All right, so Andy.
Okay.
Do you want to continue what you were saying?
I'll just pick up where I left off.
Right.
Actually, gave me good time to think about what the question was asked. So the question was, do I think physics will expand into other game types? Absolutely. And one of the things you also have to realize is the game industry is a competitive industry. People are trying to develop content and compete against other games. So, and the people who do this development, they're very technical people, and they're very creative people. So what we know, certain types of effects and types of things that people will start to work on, but what we don't know is, once we give them this capability, what else are they going to think of? And so that's the nature of producing a hardware product and software, is that we don't predetermine exactly how they're going to use this stuff. We give them the capability, and then they kind of take it forward. And I think we saw that in 3D, where there was some amazing content in the early years where people were just trying to stretch the boundaries, because that's how they're successful, right? That's how a game developer is successful, is by giving you a better experience by, you know, incorporating more elements and surprising you. So
you're thinking only will this expand into game types that maybe aren't as obvious right now, like an RTS, and actually create new ones because of the options available?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know. That's a very good question.
I think so.
The game landscape, I hope so, but the game landscape's been pretty, is a very well-developed, right? A lot of the categories are fairly well-developed, so I hope so.
I'm hoping stuff, like, do you remember The Incredible Machine? Did you ever play that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, it was a great game, especially great for kids, because it was real simple. But now that actual physics are going to be built into a world, and that it's just much more realistic, and a ball can fall off of a hoop, right, because it doesn't hit it perfectly or something.
Yep,
if anybody
yep.
out there remembers the game The Incredible Machine, now imagine that with an environment that has true physics in it, or non-true physics, right, where
right,
you can
right.
make different things apply. It would be fantastic.
Yeah, you can imagine, I mean, you know, water, land environments where, you know, it's now not just on the land or in the water. You could be, you know, in both as real environments, right? Not just jumping in and splashing your, you know, blue screen, right? So it's an interest, you know, there are a bunch of interesting boundaries, but, you know, that's why I do chips and I don't do games. The game developers will I think, certainly come up with a bunch of great ideas on that stuff.
All right. Now, I know that it's going to be hard to get an answer out of you regarding future console stuff, so I'll try not to put you on the spot here. Basically, you can't really say about what's going to happen in the future consoles because they haven't made announcements. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. But do you see it as like vital to the success of your company to actually make it into a console at some point or other?
I don't think anyone can argue that NVIDIA or ATI are successful because they're in consoles. I think it's a segment they're in. You know, within the PC, within this type of processing, there are a bunch of other applications that actually do map to the chip as well. But that's, you know, for us, that's well in the future. But it's, you know, the console side, we look at it as a source of content. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as a hardware platform, being a hardware provider into a console is a really hard thing to be. And, you know, because the console model, right? The console model is the hardware is as close to free as it can get, and then the software is where the money is really made. And
yeah, but I mean, that's from a consumer standpoint. NVIDIA and ATI still are making money off their chips that go into consoles.
What I'm saying is that they're not successful companies because of that.
Yeah.
If the console disappeared tomorrow, ATI and NVIDIA would still be very large and very dominant companies.
In sort of a similar theme, I've got to wonder, like, there are a lot of applications, like you said, you might be looking towards in the future. I assume you meant non-gaming applications, right?
Correct, or applications that support gaming. So there are development tools that content people use that would be, you know, having the physics be built into those tools would actually help game development as well.
So why is it that AGEA chose to attack gaming with their new technology rather than, you know, going for a government contract where they can more accurately simulate military environments and shuttle launches and all that stuff?
Fundamentally, the size of the market, the game market is huge. And the needs of the game market, I'm giving a game-accurate simulation in a game. I'm not giving a real-world military-style simulation, right? So the needs are different. And it's the difference between, you know, in the old days of doing kind of game CAD and doing professional CAD. So there's a kind of an accuracy difference, or there's a difference in the way the tools use. So if I was creating a military simulator, I would try to be very, very, you know, high fidelity, very accurate to what the real world looks like. In a game, that kind of precision is not necessary. I just have to make it look real.
So you're thinking that down the line, once there's a little experience and new technology available to you guys, that maybe you will attack that because it'll be it'll require a bit more accuracy.
Only if it maps to the content side, to the game content side, because the game content side and the ability to be in a PC playing games is so much larger than any military market or any of those really niche markets. So I'm old enough to remember a lot of the early mini computer. There were boards and mini computers that did what we're now doing on a chip. And there was actually a company in Oregon called Floating Point Systems when I first started my career in the early 80s that was doing exactly what we're doing. But that product category fell away because the applications became very niche, became very small and wouldn't support a development. And games now are big enough that they support the development of this type of chip, and other things will just map to it. So again, content leads, the game content leads. It's now the same in CAD, mm-hmm. where the consumer-oriented companies are now the dominant players in CAD because the game industry forced them to get better and better and better, and now the CAD kind of crossed over into what were previously just professional-only systems.
Yeah, I mean, we are definitely at a different point now where, like, my passion is more video gaming than PC gaming.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that, like, it's still all speculation, but they're talking about the new systems coming out, and
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
The supposed specs are supposed to be better than anything you can buy on the market as a PC for five times as much. And so there's certainly the power there and the ability for people like Aegea to come around and make big differences, you know, instead of hitting like a Super Nintendo that couldn't really make much use of it anyway.
Right. That's and, you know, we get asked all the time, you know, how are you going to compete against consoles? As we don't. I mean, they're different content platforms. Why do people, you know, the opinions have got about why people play PC games as well, the screen resolution's better, or, you know, it's easier to network, or there's a bunch of different things, but there are people who play games on PCs, there are people who play games on consoles, and it's kind of a choice that people make with their entertainment dollars. So we're hoping to make the PC much, much more capable, and yes, I also believe the forthcoming consoles are going to be a huge challenge to entertainment on the PC, so...
Yeah, there's been, you know, so much merging the two worlds anyway that I'm sure if it's not going to be around for this generation, the next one will certainly have physics stuff,
right.
Which, like I said, is something I have been very excited about for a while. We're at the end of our show, so I want to thank you very, very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
One of more interesting guests that we've had, so I appreciate it very much. Sean, unfortunately, didn't get to say as much because he's on the phone.
That's okay. It was rather interesting just to listen.
Yeah, I'm glad he was here, and I wish that we'll get more guests like you
great.
In the future.
I appreciate
so
that.
Thank you very, very much, Andy.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, so, Sean.
Yes.
Next time, man, you'll be in the studio. It'll be so much easier for us to handle this.
I'll be perfect next time.
Excellent. So we have one more minute left. Just want to thank everybody for listening. Remember that chatterboxgameshow.com, you can download all of our past shows and start podcasting if you just don't want to take the effort to go to the actual site. Also, we're going to be going to E3 in just a few weeks. We're going to have another guest on, Rob Smith from Official Xbox Magazine, on the show the day before we hit E3. Tomorrow, I'm going to be online doing nothing but play Halo 2. And maybe I'll check for more pictures of the Xbox 360 because that's also what I spend my time doing. I
also got a huge week for game releases. I'm counting 15. So go out and grab new games.
Yeah, and also, you know, you should check out Psychonauts because that was great. Anyway, thanks again to Aegea for making the show a wonderful one. We are going to check out and we will be back next week, same time, same place. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.